Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That Pharisee on the front of our bulletin is quite a guy. I mean, he's bragging about himself and about all that he has done. He has gone over and above what is required. He fasts not just once a week, he says, but twice a week. He tithes more than he is required to by God. He's an impressive character in some ways. But as we know from reading Scripture, these Pharisees are often targeted for their attitude, the things that they believe, their lack of trust in Christ, and here certainly for trusting in themselves. Thank the Lord that we are not like them. Thank the Lord that we are not like these Pharisees, that we welcome people like those tax collectors, that we welcome all kinds of people. We're not so intolerant and rigid that we believe in Jesus, unlike these Pharisees here, unlike this guy, that we don't stand and brag about all that we have done. We believe in Jesus and we have confessed our sins and we're not like them. Thank the Lord. But wait, when we have that attitude, and it's very easy to fall into when we read and hear what the Pharisees believed and said and did, when we have that attitude, we're actually acting just like this Pharisee. Instead of being like the tax collector. And notice that it is not the Pharisee that goes back to his home justified. But it is the tax collector who goes down to his home justified, Jesus tells us. Why is that? What is wrong with this Pharisee? And how can we avoid the temptation, which is very easy, of being like the Pharisee? And how can we be like the tax collector instead? At least in this story. Well, first of all, note that the Pharisee trusts in himself, that he exalts himself, and that he does not see his need. So first, that he trusts in himself. And notice that Jesus tells this parable, the writer of Luke says, to those who trusted in themselves and treat others with contempt. It is very easy to trust in ourselves and what we have done, to look back on it and think it is good and try to pat ourselves on the back for it. And in fact, even to compare it to other people and say, well, see, it's at least what I've done and how I have lived and how I have acted is better than those other people. And to think God should reward me because of what I have done. Even when we face death, to try to comfort ourselves by saying, well, at least I've lived a pretty good life. Surely God will look at that. Surely God will accept that. Surely he will see that it's better than those other people. Well, to do that is to trust in ourselves and what we have done. And to think that what we have done deserves or earns something from God. That would be to trust in ourselves. And then also notice that this Pharisee exalts himself. Second. He exalts himself and brags about what he has done. He's proud of it. And Jesus says at the end of the parable that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And third, in all of this, notice that the Pharisee is the one who does not see his need. He goes to the temple to pray. But he stands there and he thanks God for all that he, the Pharisee, has done. He does not thank God for what he has, for what God has done. He is not begging for God's mercy. He is not asking for his sins to be forgiven, which is why the temple is established, is for the wrath of God to be propitiated, for sins to be forgiven. And all of that is really looking forward to Jesus, in whom the forgiveness of sins really comes about. All of that was looking forward to Jesus. And the Pharisee does not come to get any of it. He comes instead exalting himself, trusting in himself, bragging about what he has done and not to receive anything from God. But then, on the other hand, there's the tax collector. The tax collector in that society would have been a person who extorted money from others. And perhaps even in this case, it would seem he is a Jew from his own people, representing the Romans, whom the Jews did not want ruling over them. But what's more, the tax collectors often would take more than they were supposed to. They were supposed to collect a certain amount of money, but they would collect more than they were supposed to from their own people in some cases. So this tax collector is not an honorable man in the sight of Jesus' audience. But he is the one who comes, not trusting in himself, not trusting in what he has done. He, in fact, stands afar off from other people. And he does not even look up to heaven. He knows that he is undeserving of God's mercy and grace. He humbles himself rather than exalting himself. And he begs for God's mercy. There is nothing that he claims that he has done that deserves what God offers. There is nothing that he can claim for himself, but instead bows humbly before God and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." There's nothing good that he's offered to God. Simply his plea, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He comes knowing his need and wanting to receive from God what he offers. And in fact, when he says, "be merciful," here, the word there in the Greek word actually refers to the place, or it's related to the same word, it comes from the same word, that speaks of the place in the temple on the Ark of the Covenant called the Mercy Seat, the place where the blood is sprinkled on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for the sins of the people once a year. He is asking God to forgive his sins, for God's wrath to be propitiated, to be atoned for, because he knows that he is a sinner. He's not just asking for a little help. He's asking that his sins be taken away and that he be made right with God, that God be propitiated to him. And he is the one then that goes home justified. Rather than the guy that's done all of these good things and can hold up before God and before himself and before everyone else all of the good things that he has done. And by the way, Pharisees would have been commended in those days as people who did lots of good things. But the Pharisee is not the one that goes home justified. It is the tax collector, the sinner, who goes home justified. So what are we to learn from this then? That we cannot come to God holding up before him all the good things that we've done for our community, for our family, for our church. That we cannot look at our church attendance or our tithing as a box to check off. Or even to say, "Look, we've done more than we were required to do. See God, see all the good things that we have done," and to pat ourselves on the back and comfort ourselves with it. If that were the case, perhaps we could convince ourselves that we don't even need to go to church anymore, that we don't need to tithe anymore, that we don't need to pray anymore. Because we did all that we are required to do. We went through confirmation class. We fulfilled all the requirements. Everything is taken care of. And we can pat ourselves on the back and say, "Thank you, Lord, that we are not like other people who did not fulfill all those requirements." But to be like that would to be like the Pharisee. But instead, if we are like the tax collector and we see our great need for a Savior, and we are humble ourselves before God, we eagerly desire the gifts of God in his word and sacrament. Every single day, we know that we call upon God and we beg him for his mercy. We do what, in fact, we do in our liturgy. When at the beginning of our service, we call ourselves poor, miserable sinners. We're standing there with the tax collector when we do that. When we say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us in the Kyrie. When, in the Agnus Dei, we say, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. We over and over again in our worship come as humble sinners like the tax collector, or we should at least. This is what our liturgy conveys. Not that we are Pharisees, but that we are tax collectors, like the tax collector. We are sinners who do not deserve God's mercy. And we come begging for it. We come needing it. We come week after week needing the forgiveness that God gives in his word, in the absolution, and coming and needing what he gives when he gives his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We come as people not who exalt ourselves, but who humble ourselves before God and need his forgiveness. And in this, knowing that we are needy sinners, we need to come to him again and again and again for his forgiveness, life, and salvation. We are never done. We can never say, hey, look, I've met all the requirements. I'm really good now. Because we cannot trust in ourselves that we are righteous, but only in Jesus. Because he is the one alone who has brought to God the perfect once-for-all sacrifice by his death on the cross. That is the perfect sacrifice that has been offered to God, better than anyone else. And because of that perfect once-for-all sacrifice, God's wrath is propitiated. It is, our sins are atoned for. And God looks on us as we trust in Jesus for our forgiveness and call on him for his mercy for the sake of Jesus and are baptized into the blood of Jesus and covered with his righteousness and forgiven. In that and because of that, we go home justified. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.